You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, a federal program that tries to help children get access to health insurance could be in jeopardy as political fighting in Washington, D.C. continues. We'll find out what the CHIP program means in Wisconsin coming up. Now, it's been a big year in Wisconsin news. Earlier in the show today, we looked at some of the most significant events in and around the state capitol with WPR's own Laurel White. Now we'll dig into the stories that had a lot of significance for communities and people around the state. Those include the Foxconn deal, the reorganization of the UW system, the Packers national anthem protests, and more. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. From where you're sitting, what was the top story in Wisconsin in your community? And what do you think of the Foxconn deal? Do you think your community, wherever you are in the state, are going to see benefits? How about this idea of reorganizing the UW system, linking two-year colleges with four-year campuses? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@wpr.org. Robert Mentzer is a statewide living and storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin. He's based in Wausau. He joins us just about every Friday for a look at the week's biggest state news stories. So we asked him for a look back at 2017. Rob, good to have you back.
Hey, Rob. Thanks.
Well, one of the biggest stories clearly was that Foxconn deal, bringing in the big technology plant to southeastern Wisconsin. How about the rest of the state? If you're not in that immediate community, are people seeing this as a big story?
Well, I mean, it's quite clearly a big story, and there are already some signs that it's going to be a big, it could be a big issue in next year's elections across the state. But it's just that there are some data that it might cut in not the way that Governor Scott Walker or others might have anticipated. The first public data that we have on this came from the Marquette University Law School poll. And polling just in southeastern Wisconsin, the numbers on the deal were not that positive. They found only 38% of respondents said they thought that it would end up being a good deal for Wisconsin. 65% found did not think that they or their families would benefit from it, and that's in the region that's most affected. So, Democrats have already made sounds about this that they think that it could end up being a winning issue for them. Particularly the $3 billion. Incentive package that the state offered in order to land the Foxconn deal.
There have been some surveys of business groups around the state, and a lot of local chambers of commerce signed on in favor of the Foxconn incentive deal, hoping that it'll have kind of a secondary impact. They will be suppliers to Foxconn and related industries. What are we hearing from the business communities around the state?
Exactly so, and the deal is so massive. It's a $10 billion factory that there are as many as 13,000 jobs involved when it's up and running. Now, we should take both of those numbers with a grain of salt, but the point is they are huge figures, and a development of that size certainly would have supply chain effects, and there might be firms all over the state that would be able to get in on that and want, directly or indirectly benefit from that business. It may also be the case that people's own sense, what do you learn from a survey? People's own sense of what is good or bad for the economy may be wrong. They may not have the best idea of what will benefit or not Wisconsin. But of course, if you're a politician, it's a political question, and whether those effects will be felt, soon enough or clearly enough for people to really get on board and see it as a positive is a question that we're going to learn the answer to, but it may be a challenge.
And it's interesting because a lot of this deal, both the state spending part of it and the job impact part of it, will only be barely beginning in 2018.
Right. This is right. And so from the beginning, this has been a big story for the state of Wisconsin this year because Governor Scott Walker's has articulated a vision of the way that it could reshape Wisconsin's economy and create a new Silicon Valley in southeastern Wisconsin. And that's a big vision, and you can see people, you can imagine someone getting sort of fired up by that as a possible future and a way that this area would be prosperous. And that, I think that would be great. Everyone thinks that would be great, but that's like a long-term vision. And at least the early receipts on the politics of the issue are going to come in much sooner than that.
We've heard from people from the State Department of Administration Secretary to House Speaker Paul Ryan saying, hey, we have a problem in Wisconsin keeping educated, you know, college graduates from Wisconsin, keeping them here in Wisconsin. They're hoping Foxconn will reverse that, will put Wisconsin on the map where we're not only not losing those college graduates, we're luring them in from other states. What are the hopes people are pinning on that?
All of that, for sure. Although also, I mean, they are manufacturing jobs, right? Mm-hmm. So they are, the hope also is that they would provide the sort of backbone of, you know, historically Wisconsin's economy of a manufacturing job that you can support a family with or, you know, make a good wage with. And so, you know, there's like management structures and professional jobs that come along with something of this size, and that would be a big economic boost. But also, I mean, they're looking for people to be making good money on the floor of the factories.
We're talking about some of the top Wisconsin news stories of 2017 with Rob Mentzer from USA Today Network Wisconsin. Right now talking about Foxconn, and let's bring out a caller now. Jeff is with us from Racine. Jeff, hi.
Hello, Rob. And Rob,
what do you think?
Well, you know, initially I thought this would be great to have, you know, the jobs created here. But the size and the scope of this project will immensely change, you know, the feel of our community. You know, I live in Racine because I like the size of things. I like the amount of traffic. There are no traffic jams. You know, it seems like it's going to become almost a suburb of Chicago, and that concerns me a lot, just the feel of the community after all this project is done.
Jeff, thanks a lot. Yeah, for better or worse, Rob, that area is going to change.
No doubt. Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, so I live in the central part of the state in Wausau, and so it's easy for me to see it as a, you know, pure economic matter. But if it's in your backyard, I mean, it's a massive campus with a whole lot of new traffic and infrastructure needs for sure.
Let's take another caller on economic issues in the state. Steve is with us in Danbury. Steve, hi.
Hi. We have no way of knowing what the benefit or the impact of Foxconn will be for southeastern Wisconsin and whether those billions spent to lure them here will make a difference. But I'm from the far northwest here, and up here, despite 7 years of Republican promises and rhetoric, we've yet to see any real economic benefit from Republican control of the legislature and the governorship. In fact, we see more and more stores being shuttered on Main Street. We see minimum wage stagnant. So overall, the promises just haven't been realized here.
Steve, thanks a lot for the call. And Rob, Wisconsin as a whole seeing low unemployment, but that doesn't mean Wisconsin everywhere. There are some communities that are still feeling left behind after the recovery from the Great Recession.
Yeah, that's 100% right. The Wisconsin's economy is doing well, but it is very hard to see how the Foxconn deal or really much else reverses the issue of sort of closing shops on small town main streets, which is going on across the state.
Thanks a lot for that call. We're talking about some of the top stories in Wisconsin news in 2017. Rob Mentzer is with us from USA Today Network Wisconsin. He's based in Wausau. We focused on Foxconn so far. We're going to be getting into some other issues, a mass shooting in the Wausau area, Packers National Anthem protest, UW reorganization, and more. You can join in at 800-642-1234 on those issues or whatever you think is the top story in Wisconsin of the year. We're looking back at the biggest state news stories of 2017. Rob Mentzer is with us from the USA Today Network Wisconsin. He's based in Wausau. You can join in. What is your news story of the year in Wisconsin? Call 800-642-1234. We spent some time on Foxconn there, Rob. Let's move to other stories now. Back in March, it seems like so long ago in some ways, but still fresh in the area, a man from Weston aiming to kill his estranged wife, killed two of her coworkers, her divorce lawyer, and a police officer in that area, in the Wausau area. Tell us how that's affected the community there, Rob.
Sure. Well, so it's this is a year that had some of the worst mass shootings in U.S. history, in Las Vegas and in Texas. And this is not one of those. It is as grim as it is to say there are many worse mass shootings by body count. But this was the first, this was the deadliest shooting in Wisconsin since the Sikh temple shooting in 2012. And, you know, it really shows the way that that such an event, that violence like that, affects all parts of the community. This is a community where I live, and we've seen the mourning process that the community has undergone, and ways that people have found ways to memorialize those four victims, and just the ways that that event on March 22nd is still very much felt and very much present throughout this community.
And this was a domestic violence related crime. Has that brought more awareness in that part of the state to that the dangers of domestic violence?
Yeah, I mean that's right, exactly right. The gunman was seeking to kill his estranged wife. Her coworkers at the bank where she worked saved her life, hid her from him, and two of them died in the shooting. You know, we, the Wausau Daily Herald, organized an event about a month after the shootings to discuss domestic violence issues and talk people through the ways that the law enforcement and legal system responds and what is available. There are a lot of committed people working in this community on that issue, but it is an illustration of the stakes that are very real in these cases.
And it's sort of a tangential note. I understand there's a community effort aimed at fostering racial and cultural understanding in the Wausau area. It happened to start shortly before this tragedy. Tell us about Toward One Wausau.
Right. Yes, Toward One Wausau was a really an interesting effort that went on this year in Wausau. That was about a discussion of racial injustice and how can the city be a welcoming community for people of all different backgrounds. And for sure, the group felt like it needed to respond to in the wake of the shootings, as sort of everyone in the community did. And it was, you know, it turned out to be an interesting effort. There were a number of community dialogues on all kinds of issues, policing and inclusion of racial diversity in other ways that I think led to some interesting places, and definitely were a worthy conversation that I think benefited the community.
I want to move on to another story. In the later part of the year, a reorganization of the UW system, especially affecting two-year campuses and UW Extension. And as a disclaimer, WPR employees, including me, are part of UW Extension. That said, Rob, can you remind us the main parts of this restructuring?
Right. Well, I mean, the main part is that all the two-year campuses become part of a nearby four-year campus. They are under the auspices of whatever is a near or large four-year school. It's a bit hard to say what the impact of this will be in the long term. There are a lot of people who are, I think it's fair to say that the concerns around it are about the direction of higher education in Wisconsin. So it's in the context of declining enrollment in the UW system, but also, you know, declining state support over many years. And this is a consolidation that happened very quickly from the time it was unveiled to the public to the time that it was voted in by the Board of Regents was really just a matter of a few weeks. And so I think that some in the UW system are a bit shell-shocked by that and worried about what the consolidation sort of foretells about cuts or future, ways that UW services will dwindle.
And it's not just an issue, it seems like, for people in education in particular, people going to school or working in schools. People in local governments, local community leaders, were concerned about this too, what this means for their local identity.
No doubt. And you know, on the most practical level, the two-year campuses are owned by counties, by the local counties. That's who owns the buildings on UW System's two-year campuses, and that's a longstanding situation. So what does this mean for those communities when now the campus is actually sort of, you know, quote-unquote part of, you know, UW-Stevens Point or whatever? The other thing that is so important here is that the role that the two-year campuses play, one of the crucial roles that they play is by having that accessibility to students from different sorts of backgrounds, students who might be the first in their family to go to college. And I think that that's one of the major concerns about the move is, will that accessibility be lost or reduced in the course of the consolidations?
We're looking at some of the top news stories in Wisconsin in 2017. Rob Mentzer is with us from the USA Today Network, Wisconsin. Sports, Rob, often a getaway from politics. Not this last couple of years, really. The protests during the national anthems at a lot of NFL games in particular have been controversial from the White House on down. The Packers, not an exception to this. So take us back to September 24th, the Packers game when they hosted the Cincinnati Bengals.
This is very 2017. This story has all the elements of that says what 2017 was, I think. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this just consumed the nation for a little while. The genesis of it all is in Colin Kaepernick, the former San Francisco 49ers quarterback, who I think there's evidence to say has been blackballed from the NFL over his decision to protest racial injustice by kneeling during the national anthem. A number of NFL players began to emulate his protest, or in the case of the Packers' Aaron Rodgers, to find other ways to show solidarity, such as linking arms during the anthem. And then it all was turned up to maximum volume when President Donald Trump started publicly calling on the NFL to fire all players who were protesting in any way and was calling on people to boycott the NFL. Fans were furious at Aaron Rodgers. This came to a head in the game when Rodgers asked fans to link arms and other fans were, angrily denouncing that move. It was a whole fight. That's 2017, isn't it?
Yeah, and if there's one thing over the years I could say that, a Republican and a Democrat in Wisconsin could usually agree on, it's going to be the Packers. And to see that sort of shaken a little bit, that's something.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. And everyone sort of knew exactly how to go to their corner or what their role was. I mean, long story short, people did not boycott the NFL. That did not happen. The team owners met with players, and they agreed to give some money to some social justice causes, and basically the issue sort of cooled off. For a little while there, that was like the culture war. It was it was all anyone wanted to talk about.
And I want to get to a figure in Wisconsin politics you've followed from afar, David Clark, former Milwaukee County Sheriff. There was a lot of David Clark-related news throughout 2017.
Yeah, speaking of...
And 2016.
Culture war issues, right? It was year of Sheriff David Clark. So in January... a guy walked past him on an airplane and shook his head, committed the crime of shaking his head at Milwaukee Sheriff David Clark, and Clark ordered deputies to detain the man at the gate when the plane landed, which is at least an overreaction at worst, incredibly unconstitutional violation of the guy's rights. In April, an inquest released some truly awful details about a man who was kept in a cell in the Milwaukee County Jail without food or water and died from dehydration. That happened under Clark's auspices. And then, you know, there were other Clark stories. He was, like, in the news every – he was saying something outrageous or getting in a fight with someone every week for a while. He was very open about his desire to join the Trump administration, but the word on it was that he couldn't be confirmed by – through the Senate for something at, like, the Department of Homeland Security or whatever. He eventually did resign from his office as sheriff in August, and he's joined the – a pro-Trump PAC. Basically, he's a political guy now, which I guess is what he wanted to be all along.
And Rob, as we start to wrap up, what kind of stories are you watching for in 2018? A lot of the ones we've talked about today are to be continued, obviously.
Yeah, I was thinking about this myself, and certainly, you know, politics is going to sort of eat all of 2018, starting very soon with the governor's race and the various state races, and a Senate race as well. One thing that I think we need to be paying close attention to for 2018 is, you know, Wisconsin's election maps were heard at the U.S. Supreme Court on that's going to issue a ruling sometime in 2018 on whether they are so gerrymandered as to be unconstitutional. There's a chance that state legislative maps could be altered, thrown out, changed next year, depending on where the U.S. Supreme Court decides to come down on that issue. But that was a major news event in itself when that was heard at the Supreme Court in October, and certainly the outcome of that will be a major news event in 2018.
We'll have plenty to talk to you about on Fridays, Rob. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
All right, thank you.
We've been talking to Robert Mentzer, statewide living and storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin. He's based in Wausau. He joined us today to highlight some of the biggest state news stories of 2017. You can catch him each Friday for our weekly Wisconsin News Roundup.